Blog Talk Radio. Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice again on this Wednesday evening. We have Tanath, Sunfire, and Drake with us this evening. I've got a couple of things I'd like to say before we start. Someone has posted something on the Facebook, and I'd like you to all to support her on this issue. And she has asked, would you encourage the people to call and tell Obama and Congress no intervention in Syria, please? The Obama number is 202-456-1111. And the Congress number is 877-429-0678. We'll be probably answering questions on that later. So with that, I'd like to welcome Tanath, Sunfire,
hello,
and Drake, please.
Hello.
Right.
I got a few things to say opening. First of all, well, one thing. I want to talk about the songs. It was my day to pick. This is not. The second one is Imagine Dragons, Radioactive, and I'm a little ambivalent about it because on one hand, it's pretty dystopian. On the other hand, I encourage everyone to go watch the official music video of that one if you can, and then you'll understand why I included it.
And to the people who are unsure, apocalypse does not mean catastrophe. It means to reveal the hidden. So just to clear that up. Right. Question. For all three participants, assuming the planned war goes ahead in Syria, will any action be taken by parts of the military, Silver Legion, or the Galactic Federation of Planets?
Can I address it? Can I address
it? Yeah, you
it
go
first?
You go for that.
Okay. Questions come up on several occasions as to involvement, what will go on, what the intentions are, and a few other things. According to my intel sources, the basis idea is that the commanders, those who would be directly involved, as well as the intelligence capabilities of actually looking into things through people that, who have boots on the ground in the area indicate that we've got approximately 15 groups, different agendas, different styles, different actions. Some of the problems that have come up, and the mainstream press is what to report and how to report it. One of the things that is truthful that came out was that there is a government-sponsored entity that claims to be a militia group, and this is not just a singular government. I want that to be clear, but more or less semi-rogue intelligence operatives. What their intent in using the chemical weapons is to involve as many of the major powers as possible and to pit these major powers against each other. That is the basis of the ideology of what is going on in Syria. This is the reason that things have not been, from a logical standpoint, correctly addressed. The second part of this is that they tried a flashpoint here in the United States. It did not work. They tried flashpoints in varying other areas, and they have also failed. The flashpoint ideology goes to all-out thermonuclear war globally. which will not happen. The Joint Chiefs and a few others have said, no way. They're not going to go to that level of dedication of anything. Now, number three, this is all intel. You guys can verify it or whatever you want to do with it, but there is no intention of boots on the ground of any kind, period. Therefore, you have an option of selective strikes. This would be aircraft and or missile, and a no-fly zone. Now, to enforce a no-fly zone is going to be extraordinarily difficult. Syria has stipulated, in terms of the whatever's left of the present administration there, that they will fight back if there's any kind of attack. I will suggest that we simply are not and have not been, either officially or unofficially, declared the police force of the planet. This is the United States. I will further suggest that the Allies and the other superpowers that can be involved start exerting their authority and their capability to influence. I will further suggest, and this is from me, from what I know of the situation, to disengage everybody. The targeting of civilians for nothing other than is a big no-no. This has been done on several occasions and is not something that's acceptable anywhere. Further, and this is the secondary part of what I just stated, take the political agenda and make it a religious agenda. Same result as what happened in Egypt, where you have one person out of a crowd of 500 with an AK that shoots at the military, causing the military to respond. This is for a base religious agenda. That base religious agenda then is supposed to be able to be run into a political agenda and thus overthrow existing powers. I do not agree with most of that sort of horse hockey. So this is the reason I'm adding this intelligence at this time. I was authorized to do so, and there will be more on the Sunday show. Okay?
Okay. Right.
Yes.
The next question. There have been many promises of the positive ETs disabling nuclear weapons. When the Syria war starts and a nuke goes off, do you not think you'll be discredited?
Don't say when. Do not manifest this with your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
yeah.
trying to prevent this situation. If you're thinking in terms of when, you're helping make that. Do you want to be partly responsible for this? I sure don't.
Yeah, the ETs, you know, I have to remind people and point things out. They tried to start World War III in the Persian Gulf. Then they tried to start it with Iran. And then they tried to start it with North Korea. Now they're trying to start it in Syria. Every time the bad guys have tried to start World War III, they've failed. And they're going to fail again because the ET, no more than anybody in the rest of the world, wants World War III. And the collective consciousness and the collective will of the population, along with the ET, will prevail in preventing World War III, even in Syria. But like Tanakh says, you need to focus on not manifesting when a nuke gets dropped. You need to focus on manifesting it not happening altogether.
Yes, I agree with that. You know, I appreciate people get scared by some of the reports and posts, and they have fears. But all these fears that they threatened going back numbers of years have never come to fruition. And you have to bear that in mind. Right, next question. Since we don't really die, just lose our space suit as such, how do we know the Cabal members are really gone if they die?
We plan on doing something a little more permanent. sending them away on a long vacation. Let's put it that way.
Really long vacation.
Yep. After the ascension to 4D, do we reacquire a clear understanding of our soul purpose?
Your soul doesn't have a purpose. Your soul has whatever purpose you decide for it. You have free will. We were not created to do a duty, to do a task, or to serve a purpose for something else. Anybody who tries to tell you that is trying to use you. Don't buy into it. You'll discover and remember who you are, what you are, and have the choice going forward in what you're going to do. You get to dictate and decide what your purpose is.
Okay.
And the only thing Source wants for you is to exist and experience existence. Anything else is up to you.
Yes, you have free will, and that is the highest truth of the universe.
Something needs to be made clear here, too. The ET forces are here to ensure that freedom of will, to ensure freedom for all of the people on this planet. They will not be your white knight in shining armor coming over the hill on a horse and all that to do things for you that you're capable of doing yourself. Secondly, they will assist, but they will not do for you. In other words, here, have a shovel. You know how to dig? No. Goes like this. Enjoy. Build you a garden. there will be a combination of humanitarian aid rendered, and part of the humanitarian aid will be a relief from a majority of suffering, as well as on the ET side, as well as on the Neo-Keenan ideologies that he and I have worked out and worked on, so that people who need water get it. People who have no food get some. People need clothing, etc. These things will be seen to. What we do with our future is our decision, no one else's. Each entity, being sovereign and within sovereign states, are going to have to look at using that sovereignty as a blanket sovereignty for all of humanity and all conditions on the planet, so that we can raise ourselves up by our own bootstraps and become what we should have been long ago. That's all I got to say right now.
Yes, we have the power. Remember that. They've taken
exactly.
it away from us. But we have the power.
It's not up.
Not them.
It's not up to us to be a savior. We're not coming as saviors. We're coming as a helping hand, but we're not coming as saviors. We're not here to rule over you. We're not here to tell you what to do. We're not here to take over the place. We don't want to be responsible for everything, all the little minutiae of life that goes on this planet going forward into the future. We don't want to be your babysitter for the next 100,000 years or whatever. We'll be your big brothers and big sisters, and I don't mean that in the watching you sense, but in the actual helping you out sense. We'll be your family members and we'll be your friends, but
your
we won't
mentor.
Be, and your mentors. We won't be your rulers. We won't be your dictators. And we won't be telling you what to do with your lives. That's up to you.
And we won't be your gods either.
Nope, don't want that either.
No. Right. There's a guy on the internet calling himself former White Hat operative. He says that you and Tolek are AI computer programs run by the Cabal. I wouldn't have given...
Well, I'm the cleverest AI computer program I have ever met, if that is the case.
Yeah.
I don't experience myself as an AI computer program. I experience myself as a flesh and blood human, and if it's not being too full of hubris here, but one that is pretty bright on average. I think I'm a lot more mentally flexible than your average AI. Even the best programmed AI is not as mentally flexible as the dumbest human. Let's put it that way.
Let's put it this way. Former White Hat is a cabal operative that really, really did try and didn't make it as a porn peddler. And got a new job, and, you know, he should have not ever quit his day job.
He should stick to writing science fiction, which is what most of his posts amount to. I mean, it might be happening in some parallel universe somewhere, but we're not experiencing it.
I mean, come on. He still talks about SimJays. SimJays died back in the 90s. He swears that Talcedians have pale white skin and pale white hair, and, like, that's exact opposite of what Talcedians look like.
Yeah, sorry, they're not white guys.
The other thing is that the White Hats tossed him for varying disagreements in what they put out. What they put out wasn't the greatest, but he really screwed it up, so they got rid of him.
And that's
why he's a former White Hat.
Basically, the questioner says he wouldn't believe it, but he got spooked when Grammy J referred to him in his closing statement, and it made him wonder. So we'll leave it at
that. Well, I'm glad that your critical thinking skills are working. You need them. I will never, ever tell anyone to throw away their critical thinking skills.
Right.
Yeah, those are very important.
On the recent show you did with Robert Stanley, you said that Tolek is on a different timeline from the most common timeline we are currently on. Are you?
This is what appears to be the case.
Yeah. Are you able to state at this time how long this information was known by you?
No, we don't have the data on that. It's still tentative. We say appears to, because he certainly isn't saying the things that we see to be reality. So I refuse to believe that he's gone crazy. He's a good man. Every interaction I've had with him has been positive. I consider him a friend. Right now, it looks like whatever information he's getting, it's not the same as what we're getting. Further than that, I can't really speak.
Yeah.
And as far as this goes, when she made the comments on the Robert Stanley show, that was when the data was released to not be considered classified information, which it was when we did the previous Wednesday show. It was still being kept as operational data, and you know this happens a lot in the situation, especially currently being in a state of war. There'll be one day that the data will be considered classified or operational data that we cannot reveal, and then by the next week it'll be, you know, open for us to put out to the general public. So
sometimes the opposite happens too.
Yeah.
Sometimes things we can discuss, we get new information that suggests that we need to look into things more. And when we have to look into things more to a great extent, then it becomes operational data.
Okay, next part. Is the Andromeda Council different to our perspective too? And is anyone helping Tolek or them?
I don't understand the question, the first part. Yeah.
I think with Tolek being affiliated with Andromeda Council, I think the questioner is possibly asking whether they're on a different timeline too. Possibly, I don't know.
Well, there is an Andromeda Council on this timeline. And for Tolek, there will also be versions of the Silver Legion and the Galactic Federation of Planets and all the other players on his timeline as well. We don't go away just because we're on a different timeline, unless that timeline specifically excludes that particular event.
Right. Okay, next question. We are told, I think this has already been answered, we are told that the ETs will stop the use of nuclear weapons in war, yet it appears that Israel has used up to 3 tactical nuclear weapons in the current Syrian conflict. Is this correct?
Actually, no, it's not. They have not been permitted, much like anybody else, to use nukes. But the mainstream media and the cabal like to spin everything they can as wildly and crazily as they can and do whatever they can to up the fear factor. We have been stopping nukes for quite a long time, and so you can take it that any report in the media that claim a nuke was used is inaccurate.
Okay. How will we know who are relatives that are ETs? Who are our relatives that are ETs? Will our DNA be tested to discover which ETs we are related to? Right, that's better. Will our DNA be tested to discover which ETs we are related to?
Don't understand why that would be necessary.
Right, okay. How will we be introduced to the ETs, and will we know them when we see them?
The exact timing and details, circumstances surrounding that have not yet been worked out. In other words, we're still deciding.
Okay.
But let's put it this way, you'll definitely know they're ETs when you see them.
Yes.
There's enough subtle differences, you know, between them and us, you know, that you'll just know.
Right, okay. Question 2 to now. Are there still space battles occurring in the Sol system, or have the Draco Grey infestation been cleaned up?
There are still space battles occurring in the system. These are not as common as they used to be. So, you know, we still see ongoing attempts of beings attempting to invade or cause problems here. And we usually shut them down in pretty quick order. Sometimes it gets drawn out a bit, but, yeah, we do our best to stop it.
Okay.
There are still Dracos and Greys on the planet, yeah, and Hydras, too, and a bunch of other ones. There's over 2,500 different races and species currently on the planet throughout not only 3D, but the higher dimensions as well, currently.
Right.
Yep.
Ascension is described as a natural process related to physics and the position of Earth relative to the central sun. Conversely, the overthrow of the cabal and open ET visitation is described as an intentional process that incorporates elements of strategy and timing. The two appear to be different and not necessarily interconnected. Could the ascension to 4D happen without any dramatic change in our political system or ET visitations?
Yes, the two things are not tied to each other. One doesn't have to occur for the other one to happen. One is, as was stated, a natural process. Think of it this way. Etna is going to blow, or Pompeii is going to blow, when the Earth darn well says it. Doesn't matter who's Caesar at the time. However, who's Caesar at the time may influence how the people who live in the shadow of those volcanoes react and how they how easily they escape any destructive consequences or take advantage of any beneficial consequences that occur, such as ashfall for fertilizing the plains or whatever. The circumstances, the political and social and economic circumstances that we're in will influence how we react to this kind of thing.
Okay.
And we know for a fact that the more intervention we have, at least in terms of positive intervention, the more lives that we save, the better the outcome for humanity in general.
Right. I believe that what this show is doing is helping to provide a dialogue between the people of Earth and the benevolent forces that are active in this planet's liberation. What I would like to make clear is that just as the people of Earth should collectively request the disclosure and exodus of the reptilian intentions on this planet, we also need to collectively invite the direct intervention of the allies of humanity that have been observing and working behind the scenes. The question is, will it be possible to have a platform that would allow a truly democratic and collective decision made in the short-term future? Will the people be involved in the discussions, I think is what we're trying to say.
First, yes. Part of what you have to understand is that ET is going to assist. That's a difference between intervention or interference. Then you have things that have already been decided, and there are quite a few of them. In terms of our, going back to our original documentation in this country and others, where the people are primarily going to make decisions in general according to what the structure of the sociology and legal system are going to be. The financial system will slowly begin to go by the wayside. Nobody can carry enough money or cash around to do what they need to do in reality. So it's going to become more electronic. Then, to take it a step further, the ideals that we wish to hold need to be put into a structure that offers the truth all the way around, is totally transparent. In other words, all this secretive stuff stops. Right? Just like it hit a brick wall, done. The things that a governance in one area might be doing in secret will become well known. What this will do is this will bring out a bunch of, and it's going to be an animated, it's going to be an antagonistic, it's going to be an exciting discussion. What will come of it is what's best for humanity. Forget the government. The governments are the ones that decide they want to disagree and start wars and whatever. Forget the ideology of superiority. Yes, some people are better than others at certain things, and yet those same people who are not quite as good as them at that are much better than them at something else. Everybody needs to understand that each person has intrinsic talents that are going to be needed on a large-scale basis. One of those is basis of tolerance. So what? I don't care if somebody's different. You don't like what color you are, maybe you ought to turn bright neon purple with green, bright neon green polka dots. You want to really make a splash? Yeah, we'll do it. The ideology that someone looks different because their eyes are not the same, their color, their skin, pick some kind of excuse. Forget it. We are in this in several ways together. We will need to act as humanity together. The much of this is covered within the Unaligned Nations in the agreements that have been reached already between them will be a part of what we will end up with, both here in the United States, Russia, China. We have got to take our military forces and turn them into the largest humanitarian effort this planet's ever seen. how many people are starving in just Africa alone. People are going hungry here in the United States, the richest country in the world. I mean, good grief. You know, let's get real. Let's address the problem very directly. Who cares what color somebody is? When a kid's hungry and it's crying, yeah, feed it. Period. No matter who, what, where. You try to make sure that as you do this, you teach that person to fish. You don't just hand them one every time they ask for one. You teach them how to fish. How can we better this? How can we fix this? We need a well drill. We need crops to grow. Or, you know, these very simple things. And the wealth of this planet can take care of such things very nicely. This is the ultimate goal that we're looking for. We're going to have to operate as human beings in a unified manner. This means you're going to have representatives from each government making decisions from the representatives within that particular area or country, and then they carry this information to a group, and that group decides what might be the best approach. Who agrees? Well, yeah, well, you know, we shouldn't kill people. I mean, every religion, every belief system on the planet says don't do that. And yet we do it commonly. And the idiots that think it's cute or cool to be the bad boy on the block with the biggest gun, they got to go. Guns too, but they got to go. Right to self-protection. Yeah, fundamental, galactically approved right for an individual to protect itself from something that's going to harm it for no good reason. Well, you have a disagreement, you get together and talk about it. You don't throw bombs. You don't shoot nukes. You don't fire guns. You don't. Your rights end where the other person's nose begins. Then also, there may be a need that each one of you can satisfy the other's problem with. Bingo. Hey, that's pretty cool, man. You got goats and I got beans. You want beans, right? Yep. There it goes. They're still trading across the borders in the Middle East. They couldn't care less about some arbitrary line drawn in the sand someplace. They have been for thousands of years, and they will continue to trade across those borders. They don't care. Why? Because it don't have any effect on them. It's real important to the governments. Ooh. Forget it. Take all the angst, all the fear porn, take it out of there, and look at somebody else in a realistic manner and see whether or not you can communicate. I'm going to have to learn some foreign languages. I can see it coming. That's all I got to say. I'm off the pulpit.
Yes, well, we'll be learning a few foreign languages in the transcripts. We've been given a lot of help with that, thanks to those people involved. Right, next question. Have there been multiple Atlantean risings and fallings over time?
No. Atlantis only existed as a continent once, and it will only exist as a continent once. It is all on the bottom of the ocean, and that's where it's going to stay.
Okay. Are you able to say how far across the ocean that goes?
I believe I pointed this out several times. It runs from about off the coast of Portugal to just south, and just about south of Florida.
Okay.
So it's a very large continent.
Question for Drake. Drake keeps saying, wait for the knock on your door. Question is, who will be knocking and what will they want?
Say that last part again.
Who will be knocking on the door and what will they want?
You probably are going to have either a local militia, military, and or ET, or a combination thereof. The knock on the door is going to be, are you okay, and do you need anything? And they don't want to come in the house. I want this to be perfectly clear. They will stand outside and say, is there something that we can help you with? And what needs do you have? Do you need food, water, need some clothes? Can we help you in some way? If that person says that they do not have any needs, then they'll go to the next door. It's going to be a worldwide campaign of knock on the door, are you okay? Yes. Do you have someone who can help you out if you do have a need? Most people are going to say that they're interested in charity. Well, that's fine. Here's what we'll do. We'll provide you food, water, or something of this nature. In exchange for, when you get to feeling better and you can do something, you come down and see us and we'll find you something you can work it off of. No big deal. Most of the people that I am aware of who do have needs are not in a situation where they should have any. You go to the poorest places and you'll find that it is a neighborhood. You'll find that it is a slum area or extremely low-income area. You'll find within it most of the crime and origins of crime simply because these people are trying to get a hold of enough to feed the crying baby, whatever that takes. As these basic needs are seen to, then the knock on the door will have come to mean a lot. And this is basically what the idea is. We do want to contact everybody. However, it's going to be notified. No, there's going to be notification. All of your public capabilities, TV, radio, cell phone notifications. You have Homeland Security who can dial you up and say, okay, you got to get ready, bad storm coming, or whatever. Any kind of a notification system that can be used. We're going to be in your neighborhood such and such days. If you have any kind of needs or something that you need taken care of, we need to know about it so that we can attend to it. And that's basically what the knock on the door is to be about. You'll be notified a little bit ahead of time, and then the campaign starts. And it's going to take a lot of everybody to get this done. Think about how many doors there are. And, think about the extreme list of things that certain people need something different and how many people are there. So the ideology is to assist, and there will be work involved. Well, you need this. Well, this guy over here needs that, and you got one of them. And won't you? Can you talk to this guy? Bingo. Then you work together. It's a trade. Doesn't have anything to do with monetary values. Doesn't have anything to do with dollar bills necessary. He's got beans and you got goats. Real simple. I'm done.
Right. Question for Tanath and Sunfire. You guys said there is a lot of tourism out in space, so how does one get compensated for their services, or do they just do it for the fun of it?
They just do it for the fun of it. There's no, compensation system when it comes to, most, not all of the positives up there, the neutrals, and the majority of the negatives. There's no economic financial system, but if you have the inclination to where you really enjoy going on a vacation or a tour with your the captain and the crew and all that, you can pick up a bottle of wine or a box of fruit while you're at one planet or another and just give it to them and say, thanks for an awesome vacation or thanks for an awesome tour. Something along that line, or make them a piece of jewelry or a statue or anything like that. They are more interested in hearing a genuine thank you or receiving a gift that comes from the heart that is handmade, by an individual than they would be interested in just about anything else. But they're, if they're out there being a tour guide, they're doing it because that's what they love. It's what they enjoy. It's what they have fun doing. because that's basically how it works up there. You get to do what your passion is.
I think I'll have a go at that. All right. Question for anyone. Are you aware of beings that look like the ETs from the movie District 9?
I haven't seen that movie.
I've seen that movie, and I would say it's probably, you know, taking into consideration the concept of infinite combinations and infinite diversity, there probably is ones that look, you know, not exactly like that, but, you know, within a close variation.
I'll have to agree. From the entities that I've run across, just about any kind of thing you can imagine is there. So, you know, some things probably won't be too easy to accept, but we'll get past it eventually.
Okay.
I mean, there's even ones out there that look like Jabba the Hutt.
And some of them are nice.
Yeah.
Right. After the events, what will be the status of schools? Should we be gathering books and supplies for homeschooling our kids and grandkids, or will this not be an issue?
Well, I think homeschooling in general is a really great idea and is probably the best way you can do things. So, yeah, homeschooling in general is a great idea. As far as the education system, what I understand, there will be a, you know, a transition period.
Likely, life is going to look a little different from everyday life now for at least a little while. Well, it'll never look like it does now again. But there will be a transition time in which things are kind of up in the air. And honestly, if your kids miss a month or two of school or a formalized education, it is no big deal. It is more of a big deal if you miss a month or two of food or water. So, you know, that is one of the things that will eventually catch up, but it's not number one priority. Don't worry, your kids will have hundreds of years in which to catch up. They're not going to be living for under 100 years. They're going to be living a lot longer. Most of them won't even be adults until they've hit about the 200 or 300-year-old mark. So things are going to change.
Yeah, and, you know, also the, you know, what kids are taught is going to change completely, too, because, I mean, you know, the whole true history of the planet, the solar system, the galaxy, and, you know, an abridged version of the history of the universe is going to be introduced, and, you know, it's a whole lot different than what anybody's been taught down here. I mean, think about it. The planet itself is only 7.5 billion years old. The universe is close to 900 centillion years old.
Heck, you might even be sharing seminars with your kids, because there'll be a lot that you'll want to catch up on as well that you missed out on.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is the teachers have got to be taught first, haven't they?
Well, we can take the role of teachers for the first little while.
Right, okay.
Because that is something that we can do that you can't currently provide for yourself. I mean, you can provide teachers, but they got to be taught first.
Yep, that's, you know, that's part of the
whole mentoring.
That's
what's the whole mentoring, yeah.
That's part of the whole mentorship.
And the way we teach it, it's not like teaching a curriculum where we basically present what is currently accepted by the authorities as real, and you only learn that. It is far more exploratory. You have a chance to see for yourself whether something is the truth or not. It's exploratory, experiential, and student-driven rather than curriculum-driven. If you look at some of the existing methodologies, for instance, the methodologies of Paulo Freire, the reflex methodology, some of these methodologies actually resemble extraterrestrial methods of teaching. And they are effective, empowering, and really fun.
Yeah. Unlike current school.
Yeah. Oh. I like
right.
school enough that I did an extra 7 years after the normal run, and even then, I don't want to go back to that.
Basically, what's going to happen is you will have people graduating from grade school with the equivalent of applied science degrees that we get from technical colleges today. Now, what that means is that during the greatest learning capability phase of a child, all of that capability will be tested, meaning that you get to go play, but once or twice a week, you have to go and play in the field that you are best suited to and you have been trained the most in, so that you have a fresh working knowledge and things are not foreign to you when you come back.
Right, okay. This leads on to the next question. Will there be any need for writers in 4D?
Oh,
what
heck
kind
yeah.
Of...
Oh, yeah.
There's... Everyone loves a good story.
There's need for writers all the way up to existence level. I mean, because if you're not writing a story, you're writing a new holodeck program or a new
chapter.
You know,
and you know, just because this society puts such a primacy on visual storytelling doesn't mean that all societies put such a primacy on visual storytelling. And while there is certainly a lot of holo programmers and things like that, people who make holodecks or make 3D interactive environments, there are still storytellers whose primary joy is telling stories with words, whether that's spoken or whether that's written or whether that's another way of transmitting words.
There's even still theater and actors
and
musical
music.
Theater
and entertainment, yes.
Even, a holodeck programmer is going to need somebody to write the story for them to program. And, I mean, that's kind of the thing with holodecks. Instead of watching the movie, you get to experience the movie.
Yeah, and one of the things that is really, really appreciated about Terrans is our proclivity for storytelling. We got a lot of storytellers on this planet. It's a really valuable thing. Because remember, in a cashless, economy-less society where value is placed on things subjectively, it is creative endeavors that become the most valuable, not material endeavors.
Yeah.
That part answers the second portion of this. Will a person be paid, and how will they know they are doing a satisfactory job?
Well, likely your payment will consist in gratitude and people expressing thanks for what you're doing and what you've created. And oftentimes there'll be exchange, as in somebody really, really likes what you did, so they're making something for you as a kind of a thank you.
Yeah, and, the fact that your art piece is hung in their house with pride, and everybody that comes to visit them gets to see it, and they tell everybody that comes to see it and goes, "Oh my God, that's so cool, where did you get it?" They're going to go, "Oh, well, I got it from my friend that's just down the street. He's an amazing artist. You got to go, check out his work." There you go. And then more people come and appreciate your work and go, "Oh, my God, you're the best artist I've seen that does this in a long time. Can you do something for me?" It's like a whole different paradigm, and it's amazing when you hear somebody genuinely express true appreciation for something you did, then it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah, the kinds of things we place value on are things that can't be replicated, things that take time, effort, and energy to create, and things that require creativity.
Yeah, and that
and you tend to get those things back in return.
Yeah, so it's a case of more receiving gratitude rather than monetary value.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, things that are exchanged in return for cultural goods might include, you know, maybe a good story, maybe a cultural good from someplace else that the person hasn't seen, maybe some food that doesn't replicate well, because not all foods replicate well, wines and beverages that have been fermented or produced by bacteria or other organisms don't ferment well, don't replicate well, because the fermentation process requires life and replicators cannot reproduce life. So anything grown, anything processed by a living being, these things are valued.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't forget every time my solar cartographer crewmate, his face lights up, and I hand him a bottle of Tikarian ale, and he just goes, "Oh my God, you got one!"
Yeah. Admiral Mander has a soft spot for wine. And here's another thing. Most people don't intoxicate easily. So, you know, you don't see alcoholism. You don't see dependency on substances and chemicals. It just doesn't happen among us. So, you know, they're perfectly acceptable gifts.
Good. Right. Are the heavy rains in the northern Philippines harp or weather warfare induced?
I would say a little bit of that. It may be enhanced, but the majority of the, you know, the weather just in general around the planet right now is part of the transition process. And also the positives here on the ground and also up in the up in space are in the process of taking back control of the weather systems from the cabal. So there's going to be some weird weather abnormalities, more so than you would generally see during a transition. But, you know, they're going to be there, and it's going to stabilize probably slightly after the transition, maybe kind of weird and awkward until then.
Second part, is the Galactic Federation of Planets or the Andromedan Council directly intervening right now or helplessly watching?
We're intervening to the extent possible. That extent is not as large as we'd like.
Or as visually available.
Yeah. Not as attention-getting either.
Right.
Yeah. And the third part is, what is more dearer, the ET's safety to land and intervene, or the endangered lives of Earth's people? I'm sorry if my tone is offensive,
yeah,
but I can't understand.
The endangered lives of Earth people.
Yeah,
remember, we can resurrect our dead. A 3D person, they cannot be brought back in that 3D body. So while we certainly aren't sacrificing our people for this, because just because we can resurrect someone does not mean that they're just throwaway tools. But honestly, Terran safety has to come first, because you guys are less able to recover from death.
And I mean, as far as the concern over safety, you know, of our ships and our people, there's not any technology on this planet that can cause any harm to our ships or our people.
Well, to the people, yeah, there is stuff, but it would take the right circumstances. Somebody going down without body armor and getting shot point blank is still going to suffer. You
right.
know, accidents do happen. You know, if you drop a mountain on someone, they're still going to die.
Yeah, but I mean, my point being is that, you know, comparatively, the Federation and, you know, most of our allies are more technologically advanced to not be of great risk to anything
yeah,
here.
Yeah, there's less risk for us. And conversely, we're also highly motivated to see that you survive and don't come to any harm.
But as far as the ET's landing right now, it's just not physically possible. If it was, we would be.
Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to play two songs. It's roughly 7 or 8 minutes. The first one is a request by Tanath. We'll be back shortly.
Oh,
Hi all, and welcome back to the second hour of the Tanath, Sunfire and Drake Wednesday evening show. Right, we'll go straight into questions again. First question, what is a timeline, Drake?
What's a timeline? That is a generalized flow of incidents, events, and intentions. It is not limited to realities, but has realities within them. It also compiles the gamut of the general direction anyone can take if they so choose. The ideology of a timeline is not something that translates well into our physics in 3D. So that would be about the easiest outlook of it. Okay?
Okay. Question for Tanath. Will the need for archaeological people exist in 4D?
Well, potentially. Making sense of you know, all the things that occurred in the past will be a lot easier with archaeology. Sunfire, you got a comment?
Yeah, I was going to say that archaeology and anthropology are very strong subjects, and it's that anthropologists and archaeologists are both very high in demand up in the higher dimensions, from 40 all the way up.
The techniques change a little.
Yes, they do. One of the things that I do in my spare time up in 5D is I'm a xenoanthropologist, and part of the reason why I was like, oh, this sounds like a really great idea, I'll go investigate and see what things are like on Terra. I wanted to study the people and the culture. Okay. I think I'm going to rethink that one next time.
Yeah, we call this ethnography.
But, I mean, there's a lot of planets out there and solar systems and everything that have a lot of ancient artifacts and really ancient sites and stuff that, you know, that archaeologists, anthropologists, you know, all that. So, yeah, I mean, any of the sciences, especially associated with nature, are definitely very much in high demand.
Right. Will those of us who stay in 4D be able to visit friends and family who go to the new 3D planet? Apologies if this has been asked before.
It has been asked before, but I have no problem saying yes, you will be able to visit.
Yep.
Yeah, for people who don't know, we have all the transcripts, well, most of the transcripts of all the previous Wednesday evening shows available on the Cosmic Voice Facebook page under files. So all the questions and all the answers that have been asked previously are all in there. All right. If I were to leave for the 3D planet, would new healing methodologies be available with a particular reference to vision and trauma from an old experimental phase that didn't work out so well?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There's going, you know, not only in the 3D biospheres that will be taking people to the new 3D planet, but as well as, you know, anybody going into 4D, everybody will be restored to their optimum health, and there will be a lot of new healing methodologies and modalities and everything introduced to everybody.
Yep.
3D, 4D.
That is definitely a part of it. The other thing you get to look forward to is even if you decide to stay 3D and go to another planet and be 3D there, you won't have to worry about the shortened lifespan, because you'll be living between 1,100 and 1,500 years for the most part.
Good. A lot of what I have read about the ET visits, they have always met with our heads of government and heads of our religion. Don't the ETs know that these are the people causing all the trouble for us? Why don't they come and visit?
Yeah, why do you think we're not
visit?
Meeting with them right now?
Yeah. Why don't they come
and... Yeah, I mean, we've known... Go ahead.
And how come they don't visit the nosy neighbor lady down the street who knows everybody's business? Then we would all know what's going on.
Why do you think the emphasis now is on personal face-to-face meetings and not meetings with heads of state? It has been quite well demonstrated in the past that most of the heads of state and religious leaders on this planet are untrustworthy little buttholes who shouldn't be given any more rope than they can hang themselves with. We did not know this to begin with. Usually, meeting with representatives of a culture or society is a good way to go. In this case, the representatives of our society did not actually represent the people on this planet.
And they haven't since at least the mid-1800s.
Yeah. So, you know, we discovered much very quickly on that, you know, meeting, take us to your leader wasn't going to get us anywhere useful. So this is why the emphasis is now on real people as opposed to the figureheads, puppets, clones, and other things they have supposedly representing us.
Right.
And I can hear Drake have a cackling fit there in the background. So this is why nobodies like me have more contact than some heads of state.
Yes.
Well, let's put it this way. I have been fortunate in that I have been in contact with real people who do have something to say about how things are run, primarily through a variety of different channels, a variety of different people. And the intelligence that I have presently mostly is active intelligence, meaning that it is not something that can be shared because it might interfere or endanger someone, as I've stated many times. But there are a couple of sites and that have some of these, and I quote, interviews. the best one I've seen covers the one that Eisenhower had with E.T., And basically, E.T. was told by our military that they were not in charge. We was. And most people with any common intelligence at all would go, yeah, right. And E.T. took the copped a bit of an attitude and told them in no uncertain terms that was definitely not the case. They would come back later when we grew up a bit. And I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yes. Question for Sunfire. It's multiple questions. I'll break them down. Would you say that space is finite or infinite?
Infinite.
Absolutely.
Also, in terms of numbers of other universes, is it finite or infinite?
Infinite.
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 And that is a big infinity.
It's four dimensions. Dimensions are infinite, too. So.
Let's put it this way. The best way to define it is to look at how many times you get answers when you start trying to put all the digits down dealing with pi. When you do this, you will find about the same quantitative number of universes within which the same number of pi are existent planets, galaxies. It's humongous.
Existence is really, really big.
Yeah.
Fortunately, you don't have to experience it all in one go.
Just as well, really.
Yeah. That's why I said fortunately.
That could hurt your head.
Yeah. Yeah. Nor do you even ever have to experience all of it, unless that's what you choose. And let me tell you, that particular journey takes a very, very long, long time.
Well, thank goodness all spirits are immortal, you know?
Oh, yeah, it definitely helps things.
It makes a difference.
Right, next part. What is the highest dimension?
None.
I don't know. You know, I could give you a number now, but then in a second it would change and probably triple infinitely. So it wouldn't be accurate.
Right. On the final.
I'm going to throw in my two cents here, guys.
Alrighty.
It's very
simple. I already gave a nickel, so
dimension zero.
No. The number that equates to, and we'll explain, infinity is 1.0.1. Look into it and research it. That is a number similar to pi in three-dimensional, true three-dimensional, not the one that we have now in terms of our trigonometric function, but which is limited to half a sphere. This takes in the whole of the sphere. It also has no fractals. Ooh, now here's the other part. Just as high as the number goes for pi in the number of galaxies and the number of universes present, also deals with dimension. As the creator is infinite, so are the dimensions.
In this particular local universe, it naturally goes up to 12. But sure doesn't stop other visitors from being higher.
Yeah.
So it's about what you manifest.
Yep.
Yeah. Is there planets and intelligent beings that are all hermaphrodites, and is that what we are working towards?
Nope.
No.
Being gendered is fun, okay? There are beings that are hermaphrodites. There are beings that have many, many different genders. But honestly, most of us find sex to be really, really awesome. And many of us like the male-female model. So these tend to be the most common.
Okay. Is there rock heavy metal music in 4D?
There are many, many different kinds of music. Okay.
Yes, there is. Here's the deal. Music, just like other things that we are familiar with, is going to go through a transition. It does not mean necessarily you won't be able to hear it, but what would you do if, and this is an if, it actually made pictures? Not just in your mind, but something that an audience could see, and if it goes far enough, actually participate in. You want to see music at its finest. You just will not believe how intense this is going to get.
Yep, experiential music is a thing. Yeah.
Question for Tanath. What type of weaponry does the Silver Legion use in hand-to-hand combat? And are there special...
Anything the particular operative wants.
Right.
Are
there special magical types of weapons like the sword Excalibur?
Well, Excalibur is definitely not all that. It's not all hot stuff when you compare it to some of the other ones. So, yes, there is definitely swords with elemental, magical, and other attributes. The answer about which weapon is used really depends on the individual operative in question. I'm fond of swords and spears myself. Some people like to use ranged weapons. Other people like hand-to-hand and unarmed combat. Others just use energy.
I know I prefer long-range weapons, but then I also like the one of my faves, what people know is the Force Lance from the Andromeda, Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda series. That came out of a Federation weapon. It's almost an exact replica.
And some things that in the three dimension are more decorative than functional actually work in higher dimensions.
Yeah.
Question for Tanath and Sunfire. Mark Kimmel told us about specific people and celestials working aboard the ship Athabantian. Tolek does not mention the Athabantian. Is the Athabantian a biosphere-type ship belonging to the Galactic Federation of Planets?
Near as I know, the Athabantian is a smaller ship, not a biosphere.
Yeah. I don't know if they belong to the GFOP or not, but yeah, it's a smaller ship. It's not a biosphere. I know that much.
What biosphere ships are Morane and Kyla stationed aboard, if you are able to say?
Kyla is stationed aboard his own personal vessel. I do believe that Tolek discusses which ship Morane is on.
Yeah, I think even Alice Collier mentions that, but, I mean, you know, if they haven't, then I don't think we'll be doing it either, considering that's, you know, technically operational data.
Right. Question for any of the three. You have mentioned that art and beauty are appreciated by the Galactic Brethren. I'm so glad. Can you describe what types of mediums are available in 4D?
No, because I don't have an exhaustive list. Sorry, a lot of my information or data is operational or related to my specific areas of expertise, and that means that I don't have a lot of information on things like that.
There's all kinds. Basically, everything that is available here and an infinite amount of more. There's, you know, because there's holographic stuff and multiple different mediums based on holographic.
And plus, people come up with new ideas all the time.
Yeah. The only limitations in the higher dimensions, and even mostly here in 3D, is whatever limitations you put on yourself and your imagination.
Right. This is a two-part question. Will the people have some time for rest and relaxation after all the events?
Well, it really depends on how things shake down, honestly. We're hoping, yes, because people are going to need a little time to sort of absorb what went on and come to an understanding. There's going to be people who are really going to have to come outside of their belief and comfort zone. So, yeah, I would imagine that the first couple of months, at least, probably nobody's going to get a lot done, speaking in a broad sense. There'll be a lot of people who will be working their butts off and getting a lot done, but I think the average person will probably be taking some time to think about what's gone on and, you know, really come up to speed and rest. Yes, you could do both at the same time.
And the second part is, will the incarnates have time for rest and relaxation after this?
It's hoped for, yes. Hopefully most of the incarnates will. I know it's feeling like the last little bit of a marathon for most of us right now. Man, it really is.
Yeah. Marathon that's gone on way longer than we planned.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question here. Who changed the route?
Huh? Yeah, who changed the route?
Who changed the route of the marathon midway without telling us?
No kidding.
I want to know.
Do
you know Drake?
Do I know what?
Do you know who changed it?
Who changed what?
The path.
Marathon.
Yeah.
Not telling you.
Detour.
Well, what you got to understand is that this is one of the reasons that we try to keep the active intelligence and active tactics undercover. It's easy when you know somebody's playbook to throw something in the way and cause detours, problems, et cetera, or to change something where someone thinks they have an understanding. So what you have to do is you have to play a secretive code the flexibility that's given by secrecy. And the secrecy is for the reason that we want to get this done as soon and as smoothly as possible. The processes that we've been going through are extraordinary. I'm not going to get into any of the details, but when I say extraordinary, I mean it has taxed the limits of each and every last one of us in terms of another one. Oh, boy. and what you have to understand, and this is the other part, that this, the subjugation, the rulership of planet Earth has been in the works since forever. These guys have had hundreds of thousands of years to not only screw things up, but to put things into place on their secrecy, and you, all of a sudden you'd be walking along, you trip over to Turkey, and you go, what? Turn around, smack it, tear it up, get rid of it, okay, get up. Two steps later, you fall over another one. You talk back to something that gets old. But it's also the other part of it is that as long as I draw breath, I'm going to continue to fight for our freedom, period, no matter what it takes. And I have no intention of slowing down, slacking off, or quitting anytime in the near future. When we get her done, I intend to party a little bit, yes.
Oh, me too.
So, you know, this is what everybody is looking for, setting the planet free to include all of the inhabitants. In other words, you will not have oppressives of any kind. If it's a religious or belief system, it goes. If it's suppressive and controlling, you have, and each individual out there, as a sovereign being declared by our creator, okay, source, however you want to call this, as a sovereign being, the right of freedom of choice, freedom of will, freedom to decide for oneself what should be, that never that has not been in a long time. All of these things that everyone knows to be good and proper can finally be within our grasp. What happens? When the war is over, you lay the gun down. You don't need to beat it into plowshares, but you definitely need to lay it down. Leave it at home. Leave it alone. Don't even think about it. Why? Simple. If everybody is free of the oppression, this includes hunger, all right, lack of water, real simple stuff, then we have a free humanity that can deal with things realistically. Until that time, you're going to be gnawed at by thirst, by hunger, by want of some sort, or need of another kind. No one should have to suffer, period. This is the overall, general, long-term outlook for all of the people of this planet. We start deciding. We start going in certain directions. We will garner a load of information through certain contacts, specifically extraterrestrial. Well, these are our long-lost relatives. And the ancients, as an example, are referred to in a lot of writing as whispers through the mists of time from the ancient forefathers. Well, our forefathers are beginning to talk on Blog Talk, so here you go. Next.
What mode of transportation will be used after the transition if our current automobiles stop working?
There will be multiple different types of transportation. From what I understand, the entire public transportation infrastructure is going to be rebuilt, and so will, in time, everybody will be given the opportunity to have their own scout craft, and there will be personal vehicles as well that will be made, you know, to operate in 40 with technology that would be, you know, like...
The emphasis is going to be on ensuring that there's public transportation first, and it will be free, so no more bus fare. I say after I just bought my month's bus ticket. Yeah, I take the bus.
Oh, well, we all have to suffer. Right, next question.
People want to get an idea of a base model for, you know, what potentially could be coming out for the public transportation and, you know, transportation in general. Go find the book Contact from the Planet IR. That's one of the models that's being passed around anyway.
And we may find a use for all of those big underground networks of tunnels after all.
Yeah.
And we may find the maglev trains already there as well.
Yeah, they got things there already that we might just be able to make use of. How nice is them to build us a transit system that we can use for free?
I know, it's so sweet. They're so polite to do that for us.
Okay. David Wynn Miller has stated one of the chemtrails' purposes is to prevent the ETs from invading Earth. May it be the reason the good ETs can't land just yet?
It's part of it. It's we can't talk too much about it due to operational security, but we do understand that chemtrails are indeed part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mother Earth must be so tired and sad with all the fighting over her and her inhabitants. What can we do physically, emotionally, spiritually to help heal Earth so she can shift?
Do what you can to be good to yourself, good to your friends, family, neighbors, community, other people, random strangers. Do what you can to be kind to the environment. She's going to understand and accept the fact that you still have to live. You still have to do your best to keep alive and keep your family alive, which means that some of your options may be limited because we are currently living in a situation where most of the options we have are destructive to Mother Earth. She can understand and forgive that. But do what you can to be kind to her. Do what you can to send her love and appreciation. She'll feel it. She'll appreciate it. And if you are somebody who's involved in something that is very, very destructive, and you have the opportunity to do something else, consider switching.
Yeah. Quit now before it's too late. You'll be rounded up as well.
Well, it all depends if you're doing it deliberately. If you're just doing it because you got to feed your family, some allowances are made for that. Do what you can within that framework. If you're doing it deliberately because you think it's awesome to kill people or you know, you're somehow doing the world a favor by damaging it, now it's time to rethink your priorities. If you're one of these people who's chemtrailing, you're a chemtrail pilot, and you're one of the portions of chemtrail pilots who thinks that you're doing the world a favor by destroying the bottom feeders, you might as well stop now before we stop you.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think you're doing it because it has to do with global warming, which is a myth anyway.
It's not because of global warming. You're doing it to kill people. You're doing it to kill the Earth.
You're doing it to block the positive ETs from coming here and helping.
And to poison the soil.
And to poison the
animals.
Kill
the plants and animals and all of the people. You are not stopping global warming. Global warming is a fiction devised to use as an excuse to take such drastic, horrific measures against the planet. If you're doing it because you're threatened, some allowances are made for that. If you're doing this because you feel you genuinely have no alternative, some allowances are made for that. If you're doing it because you're thinking you're doing good, you are not. Stop. If you are doing it because you really want to fuck people up, pardon my language, guess what? You get what's coming to you.
Yeah. We know how to...
We can tell.
We can. And, I mean, you know, another thing that chemtrails are contributing to is very, very dangerous and deadly outcome for the planet, the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, blocking a lot of the important transitional energies for the planet and for the population, and contributing to the transhumanism agenda, which is very, very bad and very, very evil.
Okay, next question. Is it true that so many ETs supposedly consider MITA or Mita and its people extra special?
A lot of people do. We find that there is a fetishization of Terrans, and I don't mean that in a sexual way, but I mean that, you know, there's a lot of people who are really obsessed with Terrans. We have yet to see empirical evidence that this is warranted, although I will say that every culture, every group is special in some way. We're all unique snowflakes. That doesn't mean that some of us are more unique than others. So, you know, while you're special, so is everyone else.
Yes. Over the next few months and up to the point of ascension, will there be more or less danger for people living in tall buildings rather than people living in a one-story house? I'm referring to the chance of earthquakes and the possibility that most building structures may not completely transfer into the fourth dimension.
Near as I know, that one place is as safe as any other.
Yeah.
So don't worry about the earthquakes and whatnot. That's not something that's on the agenda. It's not something that technologies have overlooked, and it's not something that's going to happen. Okay?
It has been mentioned that transitioning to 4D is a gradual process, and that process is happening now until the moment of ascension. Are there any physical 3D changes that we can observe taking place right now?
There have been, yeah. The shifting of the poles, the both magnetic and physical, the earthquakes, the weird weather, the just open your eyes and look around you.
People are experiencing more and more things they are having difficulty understanding. judging by the questions as well.
Also, the sun, it's transitioning to a blue-white star from a yellow-white star. And that's part of the transition, too. And I've seen, in a lot of cases, people mentioning that the sun looks very, very white right now. And that is part of the transition because the sun's going to, become blue-white to where, it'll match with the vibrational frequency of the solar system.
Right, okay. One thing I'd like to say at this point, I know I've assisted a few people on private messages who are having difficulty in their life understanding paranormal stuff, dreams and whatnot. Don't be afraid to come forward. There's far more people experiencing it than you realize. Put your stories up on the Facebook. No one will think you're nuts or anything of that nature. It's better to have it out in the open and people can help you with it rather than holding on to it. So be safe in the knowledge you can come forward with your stories. Right, next part. I had a vision about new 4D Earth and I want to check some facts. Will the new Earth have more land masses than currently? And will there be some kind of white fields, maybe crystals?
I'm not sure on that one.
I don't know.
I can address part of that without outing intel that's too futuristic. Portions of what you're talking about, yes. Not necessarily major. Portions. Okay?
Okay. Question to all. What is the purpose of these radio shows?
For information, because there seems to be a demand for it. As I've mentioned before, the radio shows are not exactly my primary task or mission here. But they seem to be important to people. People seem to derive benefit from it. So I've continued them because of that.
It's to, get information out and help prepare people as best as we can through whatever mediums we can, possible right now to prepare people for, what's going on and what is coming, including the arrival of the ET, the transition, the change of the financial system and political system. It's a universal law that everybody has the right to be fully informed. And, Galactic Federation Planets and all our allies, we fully support that universal law. And, this is currently one of the best modalities we have available to us to get information out.
Okay. What is the harm in providing the public with intel about your progress, as you have already told us to expect completion by spring next year?
Well, a lot of our progress is still operational, which means that if we tell it, it will provide enough information that it might be able to be used to stop further progress. So it's part of the whole notion of going silent or going dark, in that we provide very limited information about what we're up to so that we keep the enemy guessing at all times. There's a few things we don't mind them knowing. That is, that we know that we're being kept out, for one, and that we're doing something about it. Obviously, we're not going to tell them what we're doing about it because we don't want to give them an opportunity to counter that.
And I mean, think about it, and we're currently in a state of war right now, and you don't give your playbook or your battle strategies or, all your methods of and techniques and stuff to the enemy, just as in, and here's an example I know, a lot more people can relate to, when you've got a football game or a basketball game or something like that, you don't give your playbook to the other team.
It's easier to sneak up on somebody and hit them with a 2x4 when they don't know you're coming.
Yeah. And it's a lot more fun when you can sneak up behind somebody, yell boo, and watch them jump 3 feet in the air.
Yeah, that too.
All right, next. Okay. Soho has shown massive moon-sized black spherical objects close to the sun and using tethers to absorb sun plasma for fuel to continue its journey. Are they yours or reptoids?
Okay, first of all, we're making an awful lot of assumptions about this. We're assuming that the tethers are being used to take fuel for journey. I don't know where you got that information, but it isn't necessarily the case.
I know what they're referring to, a certain YouTube video. It looked like
that
they were preventing a coronal mass ejection to me, rather than collecting the plasma for fuel.
Actually, what was being done was they were injecting helium and some other elements into the sun as part of the transition process. These biospheres are part of the positive ET fleet. They don't require fueling from a star to continue on their journey. They're planet-sized biospheres. They are actually powered by a totally different system altogether that is close to being considered an over-unity device, in that it puts out more energy than it takes in and is self-generating. It doesn't need refueling from the sun. And what it is the ones that are the closest to the sun are part of the ones that are involved in stabilizing it, helping it be ready for the transition to the higher dimensions, transitioning it from a yellow-white star to a blue-white star, and also like any other star out there in this universe and beyond, it is a stargate. And stargate is being guarded. It's, so they're part of the guardian, the guardian security for the stargate, and that's pretty much what's going on.
Okay. Simon Parks, a UK abductee, claims that the reptoids consider the American government to be the de facto Earth representative and that other governments are of little or no consequence. Is this correct?
I would say it's a combination of the U.S. government and Israel. But
that's only because those are the governments they have the most control over.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Via the Vatican and the City of London, I might add. Okay. Do replicators create raw, fresh, organic foods or only processed synthetic equivalents?
They produce organic food. Raw or cooked is up to you, but it's not a synthetic put-together chemical thing. It is a perfect duplicate of real food.
And also high in nutrients. Food that comes out of the replicator is nutriently adjusted to specific individuals.
Meaning that you're not going to get something that contains GMO that's going to hurt you.
Okay.
Meaning you won't even get a natural food that contains a natural poison that's going to hurt you. It's tailored to the individual.
You mean when I go to eat my sweet corn, it ain't going to give me a solid shot of some kind of go-to juice that kills bugs?
Nope, you won't be getting any BT from your corn.
Good. I just wanted to be sure about that.
Okay. Question to Drake. Would you have an opinion on the new age version of the good guy, bad guy game being any different than the old good guy, bad guy game being played with the hierarchical religions? Is it not an alien agenda? Is the new messiah?
Well,
Oh, boy, that's a convoluted trick question that's loaded. But I'll answer it so that everybody can understand this, and everybody needs to get this. You need to take notes if need be. This is important. The bad guy alien ETs that have been playing games with humankind since a long time ago are the same ones that wrote most all of the belief system text that you can find. Now, as far as a good guy, bad guy ET situation where you have some kind of deity, you can forget it. That's bad guy ET stuff only, okay? As far as the acceptability of the manner of functionality on this planet, that's up to these human beings and humankind, but we have certain standards that we will be looked at as something to live up to and to initiate. As we begin to initiate these things, then and only then will we be able to play a more important role than just simply a group of humans on a planet. As we do so, we will be accepted into the international community of differing planets, Galactic Federation of Planets being one of them. It is up to us to make these changes within ourselves in such a manner that prejudices of any kind, any and all kinds, are deterred. This does not mean that somebody or something that is our enemy is to be welcomed in the airy-fairy, oh, we love you. Yeah, right. They'll slice and dice your butt in a heartbeat. Well, what do you answer that with? Similar reaction. Now, in the meantime, you find that some of these people who would normally slice and dice people don't know that they've been deceived into doing so. We have been finding this prevalent. And the more people, and I say people, this is ETs, these are our relatives in some form sometimes, that we come across who are schooled in the fact that they've been duped, the more entities, the more groups of people, and the more planets we find are now our allies. And in a lot of cases, our friends. Some of them just want to give you a big old hug and sloppy kiss because they're so happy to be free. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into this. No, forget any deism of ET. No self-respecting ET will have anything to do with that ideology. Why? Well, they realize that they are simply another step in the long ladder that leads to the ultimate. So, you know, we're aware. You need to be aware. And as I said, be very careful what you start getting into, because ET, and I mean all the ones that I have dealt with, to include variations in race, origin, et cetera, however you want to look at that, have all denied the idea that anybody, for any reason, should worship them. They find that abhorrent. It's kind of like something sticky that you step in that you didn't really want to get on your shoe. Only this time, you're barefoot. So, you know, that's the way it's looked at. It's nasty, funky, something that should not be there. And so, forget the deism. Other than that, yes, there's going to be a large change. Yes, there's been a switch between the good guy, bad guy of old and the good guy, bad guy presently. The people that are presently bad guys are a lot financially oriented, controllers of large corporations, people that make sure that the problems with Obamacare get put into law. Okay, this is the same socialism, and I'm clear about this, that they took over Cuba with. Then, yeah, look up your history. Think about it. Understand that these things have been going on forever. So, you know, that's my spiel.
Okay. Question for Tanath. I was wondering if you went through a grieving period after your home planet was destroyed.
Yes, and it was also a period of extreme disorientation for everyone involved. But nobody cheers for the death of a planet except for maybe people who destroy them intentionally. It was very traumatic for everybody involved.
Probably the last question for the top of the hour. Will the incarnate be informed before landings, and will they be assisting with the landings?
It all depends on the individual incarnates. If the individual incarnates are aware and in contact with their people, then likely, yes, they will be informed, and they will be insisting. Those who have to be woken up will be given the choice, but it will be
mixed up.
It will be a little more up in the air.
Okay. Probably fit one more question in. I've heard ETs consider crystals a source of energy and healing. Can you share types of ways for Terrans to use crystals for physical and spiritual benefits?
I think there are multiple different ways. I mean, for one, you have to consider crystals all have souls. They're all, you know, living things or living elements. And I remember even in a past life, I had on Mu, I was considered a crystallurgist, and I was the one that tied the crystals into the planetary, the planet's energy system and giving them to different people to use for healing. Each crystal, each type has a different use. What I recommend is just, you know, going on the internet and researching, for one, to find out which crystals have the vibrational frequency that is what you want to use it for. I think, like, amethyst, you know, has a certain thing, and then there's, you know, Drake, you want to?
I would suggest you get the book, Crystalline Healing is the name of it. I do not remember the author, but it is out there, very common, and gives you a combination of both which type does what, in what manner, how it's to be used, where it's to be placed physically, and a whole bunch of other things that you really find great. I have seen it at varying what they call rock and crystal shows. Powwows. Yeah, you know, they show up in a variety of places. But that crystalline healing does give you frequencies and all kinds of things. You'll love it. Okay.
Yes. Right, okay, we're at the top of the hour. We'll play a couple of songs. It'll be about 7-8 minutes. We'll be back for the final hour. Hi, and welcome back to the final hour. Apologies if the music sounds a bit off. I think it's something to do with the blog talk. Some were saying it was a bit distorted. Some wasn't. Apologies for that. Right, straight on to next questions. Tanakh, can you give us more examples and stories of magic and psionics being successfully used in combat, as it helps a lot of us remember our skills?
Okay, I'm getting a lot of signal breakdown. I think my headset's lagged behind a bit here. It's hard for me to give concrete.
As well.
Huh?
We just had issues with the music as well. I think it's blocked up.
Okay, it could also be my headset. Occasionally, it slows down and the signal lags behind. But it's hard for me to give concrete examples because I have those that I have experienced directly. There's a lot of them to the point where I can't really think of a specific example. The same thing happens to me if I sit down in a job interview and they ask me to give an example of X. Well, I may have done X 1,000 times. That's the problem. I can't pick out one single example from all of the collection of X that are in my head. I'm trying to think of something here, an example for you. Well, an example of, say, for instance, psionics in battle might be when you get somebody like Commander Itachi, who is a psionicist. You know, he goes up against somebody and he uses a psionic illusion to convince their mind that something is there that isn't there, or that something isn't there that is there. Then they might be swinging around at a phantom that nobody else but them, they can see. Now, the way a mage would do the same thing is a mage would make an illusion there that everybody else would be able to see. So I guess you could say that's one of the primary differences between psionics and magic. So they can accomplish some of the same tasks, but they do it, or get some of the same results, but they do it in different ways. A mage would make an illusion that would be visible to everyone, including the target. A psionicist might just affect the target or targets. It's a little harder to make one-sided magic that only affects a specific target. You have to be very, very specific when you're writing it. Magic can be highly mathematical in that when you're writing it out, it's like a formula. When you're making it, it's like a formula. You have to specify things. This does this. That does that. And if this, then that. Computer programmers, those who like computer language, are probably going to make pretty good mages. Just letting you know.
Sorry, good.
Because it is, you know, we think of it as woo-woo, but it is a logical endeavor based on rules and natural laws.
Right. Once or twice each year, I have lucid flying dreams. In one dream, I was attacked. Is it possible to transition from the dream world to the higher dimensions during a lucid dream?
It is possible to go into the higher dimensions from a lucid dream or into the spirit realms from a lucid dream. You won't be there permanently. As long as you have a 3D body and a tie to it, you will come back to that 3D body.
Do people in the higher dimensions get hurt the same way as 3D humans get hurt?
They experience pain. They experience damage. If you chop off their arm, they will understand it as their arm being chopped off, and it will hurt. The difference is they can have that arm regenerated, or in my case, I just pick it up and stick it back on. You ought to see the faces of the people trying to hack me to bits when I do that, especially when I do that with my head. It's hilarious.
All right. Next question. I am a musician, and one of my pieces is called Zorra the Alien. That title just popped into my head. Does Zorra exist to your knowledge?
Zorra is one of the channeled aliens that comes through. That particular one claims to be a Garthan and has recently started claiming to be God. So, I mean, your mileage may vary, but obviously, being a channeled entity, we're not really on the same page with Zorra. But I can't speak to your own experiences. Maybe you got a different guy than the one who's currently got delusions of grandeur.
Well, and then also the name Zorra does, you know, it is a name that, you know, has shown up across the universe, I guess, in more than just that one channeled entity. But the most common and popularly known is the channeled entity that Moss is talking about.
Yeah, it could be you got a different one. A lot of us tend to have unique names, largely to prevent that kind of, falsification of identity sort of thing.
Next question. When we ascend, will we be able to see and interact with supernatural entities and interdimensional beings like fairies, sylphs, Pegasus, unicorns, etc.? And do they dislike being in the presence of us, and should we avoid them?
It's going to be a mystical, magical tour.
You will be able to interact with them, yes. In other words.
Yeah, I think we talk about Unipeg quite often, and I think, you know, we're one of the biggest shifts in consciousness is with, going from 3D to 4D is up there in the higher dimensions, all sentient beings are treated equally and considered to be equal to the ET races, at least among the positives and most neutrals. You know, negatives, your mileage may vary kind of thing, but at least among, the Federation and most of our allies, any being that is a sentient being is just as equal as, as a Talcedian or a Arcturian or, something like that. There's no, you're an animal, so you're a lesser being than me. It doesn't happen like that.
Right. Are soul traps developed through technology by reptilians or greys or some different race?
All of the above.
And more.
Mm-hmm. A number of different groups and entities contributed to the soul traps.
Yeah, and I mean, the technology exists across multiple races, multiple galaxies, multiple universes.
Who and what are the Archons, and do they control the Matrix?
It depends on what you define as Archon.
And it depends on what you define as Matrix.
And if you decide that you are in control of the Matrix, you can do just about anything.
Is the veil of forgetfulness around Terra a reptilian thing that was put there by them?
No, it wasn't put there by the reptilians. Actually, it was put there by the Alciones. Originally, they said it was intended to do something else, but it eventually got modified by several different parties, including those who call themselves the Anunnaki and including the reptilians.
Question for Drake. I believe you once said that when the Earth shifts into high gear, 4D, everyone will find themselves in an immediate state of optimum health and will be even able to name the healthy young age.
Yes, I did.
I believe the age was around 30, if memory serves me correctly. Or
they will appear to be 30.
Yeah. For people older than that, and people younger will apply the same accordingly. Would you know if people who have passed away can communicate with the Silver Legion and or the Andromeda Council? Or
yes,
are the souls...
some of them can.
Or are the souls shuttled off elsewhere?
Can I offer clarity on that?
Yeah.
Okay. My father had Alzheimer's, and as active a mind and decent a person he was, I felt the need, as soon as I found out he had passed, to speak to him. I was granted that audience by him through certain specific means, and he told me not only that he knew everything, but he was looking forward to the transition because then we could trade back on the hugs that we've been missing over the years. So everybody's got something to look forward to.
Yeah, I happen to know my grandparents are waiting to give me big hugs. And, yes, we do have, there are, I guess you say, the souls of those who have passed from the 3D realm that have come to us. Some have joined the Silver Legion. That said, no, I will not tell you if your specific grandparent is part of our, or, you know, loved one is part of the Legion. I just don't have the bandwidth, the mental bandwidth, to process all of that data. Without telling what our full numbers are, there are over 100,000 Silver Legionnaires. Now, think of that for a moment. There is no way in heck I can personally know 100,000 people plus.
Yeah, I don't even know every member of the Federation or even every member of the division I'm a part of. It's, you know, we're 3D incarnate. We don't have the, you know, the capacity to carry that kind of data through.
There's a limit to how much my poor little heady head can hold. And most of that is devoted to operational material.
Well, I'm just waiting to give hugs to everyone connected to Cosmic Voice when we have the party, so that would be something.
Oh, yeah,
to
that'll be
too.
Fun. That'll be fun.
Yep. Tanath, can you give some idea of the extraterrestrial financial systems, the models we will be offered when transition comes?
Most of the ones that we used are not actually financial systems. Most of the Federation and its associated allies and worlds don't use any kind of monetary system whatsoever.
There's not a member of the Federation that has any kind of economy or monetary system.
We do know, we have in the records, some other places that have financial systems and some that even work. And, you know, we'll present all the models we know. And you guys will get to pick which one you want or if you want to invent your own, just as long as it doesn't go back to the, you know, the same old crap that you guys had to live with before. We're not, you know, we will let you pick your, you have to pick your own way moving forward. But one thing we're going to do is say a firm no to going back to the old model. Sorry, we are not going to leave it so that we have to come back and shovel out the dung again.
Yeah, because we're not going to come back again. If you guys
just
get it right this time, we're not coming back.
Yep.
Okay. You sure about that?
Yeah.
Right. I have a question regarding a physical symptom that I've had most of my life. Every so often, I get a shiver at the lower part of my back, which goes all the way up to my head. Is this something to do with the chakras or something to do with my nerves?
It could be something to do with your nerves. It could be a pinched nerve, for one. Could be a combination.
I'd seek a medical opinion before I'd start turning to non-physical explanations.
Okay.
Yeah, or it could even be a combination of both. But it's best to eliminate the physical 3D medical stuff before you go into looking into the spiritual stuff. But that being said, it's kind of a general knowledge that's out there that if your chakras are in any way blocked, out of alignment, out of balance, then generally speaking, that does manifest as physical ailments.
Okay. When all the spaceships can land on Earth and a lot of Earth humans will need a lot of medical treatment, how do we distinguish between the genuine healing machines and the ascension chambers that Cobra and the Galactic Federation of Light have talked about?
Well, I'd recommend insisting on an actual healer rather than a machine.
Well, that, and we're in the process of, and will be seeing to it, to the best of our ability, that they don't get the opportunity to set those chambers up.
Yeah, for instance, if we're able to act on the planet and they stick their face around there, we're going to blow their nose out. You know, stick their nose out of that foxhole, we'll blow it off.
Their brain.
So that negates,
you know,
that negates the next two questions. What exactly will these ascension chambers do to Earth humans if we use one?
Oh, heck, if you use one of those ascension chambers, if you get tricked into one of those, you can basically kiss your butt goodbye. You are a slave if you do that. Do not do that.
You know, there is this one, I remember there is this one event that Alex Collier talked about where one of the cigar-shaped ships was captured just outside of Jupiter by Talcidian and I believe it was Talcidian and Arcturian military fleet, and they found over 100,000 boxes, miniature boxes, that had souls in them. That's what the ascension chambers do. They trap you in one of those boxes, and then those boxes are used to feed the greys, feed the reptoids, feed the hybrids. Yeah, kiss your ass goodbye to get tricked into one of those. She's right.
Don't do it. Don't enter anything like that. You don't need a chamber to ascend. You don't need a machine to heal.
You don't need technology to do what you're capable of doing naturally.
Now people can understand why we are at war with the Galactic Federation of Light.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we think you're worth a heck of a lot more alive. Because you are a living being that has the potential to do anything. As a sandwich, you don't really got a lot of potential. Not to mention there's humanitarian reasons. It ain't fun being a sandwich. It ain't nice being a reptoid snack. We'd rather see you alive.
Well, thanks for that. Is gravity going to be different in 4D world than in 3D world?
Generally not.
Gravity will still exist. I don't know if... I'm not science-y enough to know if Earth will still have the same gravity or gravitic force.
It will
conservation
have...
of mass would suggest that it would.
Right.
Well, won't our densities be about 90% less than it is currently?
Well, the density will be about 90% less, but the gravitational force, the gravitational centrifugal force of the planet in relation to the density will still remain the same. It's like, it's one way in 3D because it's a 3D planet, but once it transitions to 4D, it'll still be the equivalent, but at 4D levels.
Earth's matter will change, but her mass is expected to be the same. So the gravitic force would be the same.
Right. I mean, considering the fact that gravity comes from the radiation, from a radiation wave of the star that the planet orbits around, and anything with 29 mile circumference or greater will have its own natural gravitational force, as long as it's in orbit of a star. If I appear slightly different.
One thing in physics that people do not understand is that there is no direct relationship between mass and gravity.
Yeah.
That's the fallacy of some of our modern physics, okay?
Right.
And that's why I'm not a science guy.
And that's why I usually leave the physics stuff to Drake and my brother.
Okay. What is your take on Andrew Bart this and the contract removal documents? The first part of it, revoke all sole family immigration status. These are to the 15 multi-dimensional beings whom have inserted themselves into our grid. Two, revocation of the government, revoking all spiritual contracts that deal with all government personalities, elected and unelected. And three, contract removal for the media systems. Is anyone able to?
Sounds like a good idea, but I'm not familiar. I've never heard of this before. If the person could email me something about this, I'd be greatly appreciative, because it might be worth perusing.
No. Andrew Bartzis, Bartzis, is the name. Right, okay. Right, Drake, you always ask us to use our discernment for all issues as these. However, there is such a large amount of information going around, it's nearly impossible to weed out the bad and save only the good. In your belief...
That's why.
Will this assist us in getting free of the negatives we have been living with for the past centuries?
Yes. The capability of the average person is being heightened as we speak. This is why people are noticing tones in their ears, funny physical sensations, etc. As the transition gets closer, the capability of the individual to understand what they're dealing with, and I will make this clear, understand what they are dealing with, is heightened first. This gives you a great capacity for discernment of the intent of anything you're dealing with, be it mechanical, be it natural, be it spiritual, doesn't matter. Your discernment will be the height and best protection you've got. As has been stated, you do not need a machine and you do not need special physical applications in order to make the transition. The transition is a greater part of a huge cosmic clock, a great coming of age, so to speak. The importance to the individual is simple. You will be able to know when you're dealing with something you should not be dealing with. So you don't burn your fingers, you do not get soul trapped, you do not go playing games with the wrong kind of entity that will use you for a snack on a long journey home or some such. Pretty simple, okay?
The esoteric macabre is a spinning tetrahedron human energy field used as a light body vehicle. Is this a method of travel for those in higher dimensions?
No, that Merkaba that you've been taught is a ship is actually a prison. You have a very deep, trained understanding in sacred geometry, my recommendation to you is to leave anything using that stuff alone.
It's a false representation of a truth. Thus, the individuals that look at it or become involved with it seem to think that it is a truth when it is not. This is the entrapment. Just that simple.
Okay. How does Kundalini energy work? Is the energy like a snake that coils through the chakra system?
It's been depicted as a snake, and that's probably because it actually travels in sine waves.
which are undulating and snake-like.
That's about as good as I've ever heard.
But it is not actually a snake or a serpent.
It's really good for healing, and there's a multitude of different uses for it as well beyond that.
Are you able to say what the inside of most ships look like? Are they completely minimal and streamlined? And are there crafts that are decorated artistically and creatively? Creatively,
both.
Sorry.
Yeah, both.
It really depends on the group or owner of the ship, right? Like, there are some private vessels that are extremely austere, and there are some private vessels that are extremely Baroque. It all depends on the taste of the owner or user. And in the case of military, some species like things fancy, other people like things pretty plain. So there's variation out there.
If you want to, know what it looks like in the inside of most of the ships up there, go rent the entire Star Trek The Next Generation, Star Trek Enterprise, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Voyager, and Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda series, Battlestar Galactica, and, you know, look at all the insides of the ships and those.
Mm-hmm.
Or get on the internet and look up the interiors of all the ships from the Star Trek franchise and Andromeda and Battlestar Galactica and... You know,
speaking in terms of Silver Legions, the way our ships are set up is every crew member or crew couple or small group or whatever, whatever unit you want to have in that particular instance, gets three rooms. One is a kind of like a public or a receiving room where they can have guests and whatnot. Another is, I guess you could call it a rest or sleeping chamber. And the third room is for hygiene and grooming. A bathroom, in other words. And these, because of the tech that we have pocket dimension tech, and we have something we refer to as TARDIS-like effects, which means that you can have as large a room as you want or as large a set of rooms as you want. And if you want more than the standard three, you can request this. There's no limitations on it. You know, nobody is stuffed up against a bulkhead on a little cot. Anybody who's ever been on a ship down here on the surface knows that your rank scales with the rooms you're in, or your room scales with your rank. That's not how it is up there. You can have as big or as small as a quarter you want. You can customize it completely. If you want a quarter that somebody walks into and mistakes for, you know, wandering in the mountain range somewhere, that's completely up to you. If you want a plain Jane, you know, battleship gray bulkhead, you could have that. It's whatever you want.
Yeah.
I get laughs at all the time because I tend to run to the austere.
Question for Drake. I have heard that the U.S. military uses soldiers with a high percentage of ET DNA for psionic missions, one of which includes frequency control to cause a person to self-destruct. These soldiers are also part of the Brotherhood, the Freemasons. How much of this can you confirm, and how much do these soldiers attack dissenting individuals?
Well, it depends on which program. This is the other part. The military has been operating psionic or psychic intel rooms and influence rooms for years. The ideology that anyone has absolute and full control over a person that is fully psionically capable is sorely mistaken, meaning that they surmise, they look at things, and make their own decisions pretty much. The ideology of the super soldier is just that. It's a dream. They would love to be able to do so, but cannot yet. And it would be an extraordinarily long time before they figured it out, for the simple fact that people like us would interfere with their program. The other part of it is that there are certain entities that do have a time limitation in terms of existence and do self-destruct. These are not the ones you're looking at in this case. It would be preferable to keep a limitation on the ET DNA simply so that the individual can more easily maintain a humanoid existence so that they're not found out. So you're probably at the most around 15 to 20%. Those who are higher, the 25 and up percent, are the ones that require holographic images in order not to be found out. Now, when the transition comes, there will no longer be that hiding place. This is something that they are very, very worried about. The second part of it is that includes any and all military personnel who would have to have a requirement of a holographic device of some sort to mask what they really are. So taking all of it together, it's very simple. Most of it is not within the capability of our present technology. But that part which is and is being used is an effort to contact ET. Problem is that those channels that are being used, those particular efforts that are being used in large part, go to the bad guys. Those are the ones that like to snack on humans. So I personally am very skeptical of any of the information that they have come up with. I have been vetted by people who have been trained in this, and they know what I'm talking about, that when I'm talking about things specifically of this nature and on the Sunday show, they know what's real and what isn't. And I've been congratulated, just to be honest with everybody, that I have been able to hint very strongly at the probability of something without saying a friggin' word that gives away any of the details. So they really like the fact that I'm not going to give them up or cause them problems. The problem is people say, ooh, there's a whole army of these. No, there are very few. And they're very scattered in nature. So not to worry, not to be too concerned, and that is the extent of the validity that I can cover at this point. Okay?
Okay. When 4D happens, will we need any type of monetary stash to start off with, or is the whole money thing unnecessary for our survival and moving forward?
Well, we'll put it this way. As has been stated by us, as has been stated by Tolik, as has been stated by others, the financial system is going to take a while to transition. You can bet that it will be different immediately off the bat, but we probably won't be doing away with the financial system on this planet for at least, well, 4 to 10 years, I guess you could say, is a conservative estimate.
Yeah.
Until the infrastructure's in place to...
Exactly.
It's not only the infrastructure, but people have to learn how to trade.
Yeah.
Versus having the middleman money and how to properly value things, because
the valuation of everything on this planet is completely effed up. You know, when somebody who plays with numbers all day and does not actually produce anything can take home more money than somebody who makes a road that everybody drives on, the valuation system on this planet is completely screwed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when we place absolutely no valuation on the work of people who raise children, the valuation system is completely screwed up.
And when teachers are making less money than, you know, people that sit at a desk all day and, you know,
push paper clips around.
Yeah, and push papers around, then, you know, you know, it's completely effed up. In ETs, you know, with the ET races, especially in positive and, you know, all positives and neutrals and a lot of the negatives, teachers and educators and those with advanced levels of knowledge are looked up to and revered and respected.
And let's put it this way. We currently think of valuation in terms of objects and or time. Well, time is going to be a little bit funky. We are no longer going to be able to use it as a basis for valuation.
And when you can replicate or manifest almost anything
material-wise,
because you're 4D and above, your thoughts manifest almost instantly. So you can manifest an object with a, you know, with single thoughts.
Yeah, one of the ways. One of the worst undervaluations is the lower-level nursing people.
Yeah.
You know, they look after people and care for people and get very little in return.
Right.
Now, well, if you look at our whole system, the things that are valued the least are the things that take the most effort to produce. That is absolutely bass-ackwards.
Yeah. Next question. I love David Wilcock, but the law of one material seems to have the feel of artificial intelligence to it. Are my perceptions accurate?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, with all due respect to David Wilcock, I think he's a very intelligent guy, and his heart is in the right place, and he does a lot of research and has a lot of knowledge, but the law of one material is from artificial intelligence. It talks about the Galactic Confederation. How many times, guys, have we said the Galactic Confederation is it's not us, and it's where the Reptoids come from. It's where all the bad guys come from.
Yeah, channel material in general is unreliable. Remember that in order to get past your bullcrap filter, some of it's got to be true. If it was completely false, you'd smell it a mile away. So they insert just as much as they can to get you to swallow the bullcrap. Be very, very careful with any channeled material. If you do feel like you really have to ingest this stuff, do it with caution and don't feel obliged to swallow all of it.
I'm going to caution people to stay away from it. And the reason I will is simply that some of this stuff contains within it traps. And those traps are something that are a combination of mental, physical, and emotional. You may end up as one of them little boxes on a boat somewhere that you don't want to be by simply reading it.
Yeah, there is heavy mind control frequencies embedded in a lot of this stuff. And a curious thing happens to people who, in everyday parlance, get too into this stuff. Their critical thinking flies out the window. They start rabidly defending anything that even so remotely raises a critical question regarding the material, and they join the mind-controlled ranks of defenders and spreaders. Kind of like, flies infested with fungus that make them climb as high as they can before blowing their heads out to infect other flies with spores.
Zombie flies.
Yeah, don't be one of them.
Come into my parlor, said the spider to the fly.
Or I have something for you.
Can I just make a clarification point? We're not dissing David Wilcock It's just
some of that material.
I want to make that distinction to people before people start on the Facebook saying we're dissing David Wilcock. We're not. It's just the Lord of One part of it.
Yeah, we love David Wilcock and, you know, highly, strongly support him.
We think he's doing an excellent job. We just don't like that channeled Raw of One material. And if you look at what happened to the channel, there is no way that stuff was positive.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was quite destructive to the channel.
Is the motion of the planets around the sun actually a spiral?
Yeah, it's kind of like a big corkscrew, because you have to keep in mind that the sun is also moving. So we're accompanying it, and yes, I've seen that video, and it actually very cogently puts it. You know, thinking in a local sphere, yeah, we appear to move around the sun. In actuality, the sun is moving. At the same time, we're rotating like a helix around that central point, which happens to be occupied by the sun. And at an even larger context, our sun is doing the same thing with something else, the galactic dance. All things move. There is no such thing as stillness. Even if something appears to be not moving to you, it is moving in relation to other things. And even there is no way to not move in relation to something else. Everything is in motion. Existence is motion. And by that logic, existence is change. This is the same reason why there's no such thing as perfection. A perfect state is static by definition. Static means it does not change. In a moving universe, it becomes obsolete the second it happens. No longer perfect.
All right, next question. Do all souls travel through the Pleiades first from Source
no.
to Earth?
No. No.
No. No, give up on the Pleiades. They never did you any favors. Any.
Yeah. Think about it. The ones that sold us out to the Russians came from the Pleiades.
Yep. Yeah, those wonderful blonde, blue-eyed Alcyone.
Yeah. Half of the races that have attempted multiple times to blow up the planet or kill us have come from the Pleiades.
What we've got going on with the Pleiades and Pleiadians is basically a psyop that began in the 70s with channelers and contactees who claimed, oh, these good guy Pleiadians visited them. The name Pleiadian or the title Pleiadian got associated with good guys. This has been used relentlessly against you to trick you.
Okay.
Pleiadian nowadays is a keyword for... Let me finish, Sunfire. Pleiadian nowadays is a keyword for I am lying through my teeth and I actually mean you harm.
Yeah. I was going to say, back in the time when the Bible was being written, there's all these stories about these blonde-haired, blue-eyed, light-skinned beings. People have been conditioned for thousands of years now to think of these blonde-haired, blue-eyed, light-skinned beings as gods and as higher beings, and that was a conditioning to make people, soften up to the Pleiadians. Majority of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed beings come from the Pleiades.
Yeah, and they're not necessarily your friend. Now, there are some that are fine. That's great. You know, there's some, people who fit the white beauty stereotype who are actually decent people. But on the whole, the word Pleiadian nowadays, despite what New Agers and channelers might tell you, is not a keyword for good guy. It is a keyword for somebody who's here to mess you up, trick you.
Sadly.
Don't buy it.
Right, this next question, I think the person's got this wrong. Drake, we have been told that approximately 50% of the world's population will survive the coming changes
who came up with that percentage?
The same people that they were just talking about. Fun and gamers, channelers, and other people that do not have a clue. Any kind of the ideology that you're going to lose half your family obviously does not hold water on a benevolent side. Now, add to the fact that the ETs do have sufficient technology and technological capability to mitigate almost every last little bit of this means that it's horse hockey.
Well, approximately 50% will choose to go to the, stay in 3D and go to another planet. But
yeah,
that,
but
that does not mean they will die.
Yeah, we're talking about dying, and that's different. We're talking about them dying. That's different. That means that what they're talking about is horse hockey. Will survive? No. There will be permanent residents who decide to stay here on Terra and or be able to visit distant planets and take a look around and things of this nature. The people who have decided for whatever reason, be that a religious take or belief, or the fact that they don't feel they can handle the idea, or for whatever valid reason that they come up with, that they decide they cannot transition, they will be provided transportation to a pristine planet elsewhere that is 3D so that they can enjoy what they have in the way of what they should have had in lifespan and health and things of this nature. So, yeah, everybody's going to be took care of. No, we're not going to lose half the population. Okay.
Right.
Exactly.
4 minutes left, so I think it's only time for summing up. Tanath?
Let me sum up. Can I sum up first?
You sum up, Drake.
Yeah, go on, Drake.
We got a whole lot to. We got a whole lot of work to do. We have to realign a combination of structural problems. One of those is sociology. Another is educationally. Another one is financially. A third one, the fourth one that is third of the fifth part is emotionality. The people of the planet are going to have to unplug from their texting and phone games, cell phones, and the internet, and grow up considerably, very rapidly. This is required, not a request. The reason that it's required is that you are going to have a working knowledge of certain integral information in order to make a definitive decision as to which way you want to go, how you want to play this, what the outcome is going to be.
Can I give an analogy?
Well, I'm having fun. Wait a minute. You can analogize in a minute.
Before you can swim in our pool, you got to have a swimming lesson.
3 minutes
well,
left.
We want you to wear trunks. We also want you to wear trunks and no floaties allowed. So what my situation is that I am I'm putting the bill for these shows, and I don't mind. It doesn't bother me a bit. Well worth the money spent, in my opinion, because it gets information out that people need to know. You don't have to be afraid of the dark. You don't have to have an unknown out there wrenching up in that same darkness waiting for you to make a mistake, like open the closet door, or you step out of bed and it wrenches out from under the bed and gets you. Take the little kid stuff. As I said, grow it up into an adulthood, you understand that monsters do not exist. Unless you allow them. The crux of it is very simple. We got a lot of work to do. And all I've got to say about it is, get her done.
Thanks, Drake. Is that enough?
Mm-hmm. There's no pee in this pool.
Yep.
We don't have 100% penetration into the media or anything like that. There's a limit to how many people we can reach with this medium, in part due to language barriers, in part due to access, to the fact that Blog Talk can't handle 7 billion connections at once, and quite a lot of people simply don't have access to whatever it is they need to get to Blog Talk. That said, we do our best to reach those we can, and that includes you, because we do believe this information is important. You ask me why I do this. That's why. It might not be my primary mission, but it's certainly an important part of why I'm here.
I just want to say, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, that are looking for proof that the ETs are here. Go out any night that the sky is clear and reach out and, you know, just say that you want contact. You want to know they're here, but you only want contact from positive ETs.
Yeah, specify friendly.
Or friendly. Okay. And give it 10 minutes, maybe even up to 30 minutes.
Yeah, it can take a while to get to your location. If they're not in the immediate vicinity, it can take up to 15 to 30 minutes. So don't, you know, stare for 2 minutes and give up.
Be
right.
Patient. You'll get your light show. Go ahead.
Thank you for joining us all this evening at Cosmic Voice. My name is Thomas Williams, and we'll see you all again on Sunday. Bye for now.
Sad to say, it's time to go.